Hello and welcome to Yes to Entrepreneurship Podcast. The Yes to Entrepreneurship Podcast is where you, the listener, gets to eavesdrop in on the conversations I'm having with fellow entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Ed Troxell, aka the guy who makes business and technology stupid easy for you. Whether you already have a business or are thinking about starting one, you are in the right place. Grab a pen, grab some paper, and get ready to take notes because you're about to get an inside look at the real conversations entrepreneurs are having. Quick shout out to our sponsor, StupidEasy.com. StupidEasy.com is a new online course platform where you can easily upload and sell your online courses without having to be tech savvy and without them taking a cut of your sales. Discover more at StupidEasy.com and we'll have a link in the show notes for you.
But for some reason, just this past week, my Wi-Fi has been acting up.
It's the worst when that happens.
Oh, exactly. Especially when you're trying to do Facebook Lives and things of that nature.
Yeah, no,
frustrating.
There's the technology, no matter what you're doing, there's always some form of technology built in that is going to give you trouble, even if you know it.
Exactly. And that's entrepreneurs. Our desire to, we have to overcome them and keep a cool head because the show must go on regardless. So we just work through those technical difficulties in order for it, you know, so we can get the ball rolling and deliver what we're trying to deliver. So that is a challenge for us in today's, you know, online world, and everything doesn't work properly all the time.
It's so true. And I mean, especially now with live video, is huge. I don't know how much that plays a role in your business, but you know, tell me a little bit of your business and how are you utilizing live video and that space?
Sure. Actually, what I do, I am a business coach for entrepreneurs, small and medium-sized companies. And what I focus is on fundamentals of teaching aspiring business owners how to build a sound and a profitable business. Also, with the small and medium-sized companies, teaching them strategic pricing on my consulting side of the house. So with my aspiring entrepreneurs, I mean, I do programs online using Facebook Live, and I'm actually doing a beta program right now with a group of entrepreneurs for a mini course, as well as I do live training. But I do find that with the live stream options, which is very convenient, I can teach in the comfort of my own home. Sometimes there is a challenge of the, either the picture's not clear or there's a, the problems with internet interruptions. But all in all, I do believe that on the online platform is, you know, it's an awesome way to get your word out. Especially when you have clients or potential clients all over the globe, it's just really convenient. So we have to continue to use that online space.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's the beauty of it. You know, through my business, I've been able to meet so many cool people that I would have never met if I wasn't on Periscope or Facebook Live.
Right.
And it's amazing how it opens the doors up to not just getting a sale, because that comes later. It's opening up a door to new relationships that develop over time. Therefore, the sales develop over time as well.
Exactly. And also, that's when you should come into it as well, being on and with the online presence, is that you want to deliver your best self. You want to be able to show up and show up great. But you're building a relationship, and not to expect those sales right away. That's a very small percentage for you to convert a new person to a sale. Very small percentage, you know, on the first time you have exposure to them. But I really like the convenience of being online. I like the flexibility to deliver my services, which is the coaching services, no matter where I am, you know, traveling the globe, but still be able to connect with individuals utilizing these various platforms that we have available to us now.
Definitely. And how do people find you, or How are you? Because, you know, you're going live and anybody can go live these days, which is really easy with either their smartphone or their computer. But I think the part that's always hard is finding people and finding people to jump in and engage with you as well.
Right. I find that for me, I use a lot. I do Facebook Live within my group. I have a group that's actually women business owners. So I do Facebook Live through my group and also Facebook Live on, you know, every now and then on my business page, which I really need to do more of, as well as having a presence on Periscope.
Okay.
So I'm on there as well. So when I'm really trying to reach out to people, especially people that I don't know, because I want to engage with not just my close associates or friends, but really reach out to those ones and that need my services. Yes. So I tend to use the Periscopes of the world, you know, and more Facebook Live now. I really hate that Blab went away, but I know that. I haven't tried YouTube yet, the live stream. I haven't tried that one yet, the live stream part.
Yeah, me neither.
But really just trying to tap into people that I don't know.
Yeah, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see yourself at a point where you kind of lean more towards Periscope or Facebook Live, or you're kind of both? I mean, because I know, especially when starting out, I was totally Periscope. And I still like Periscope a lot because it opens up, at least for me, to strangers. It's kind of like going to a concert. You never know who you're going to meet.
Right.
Whereas
exactly.
Like Facebook Live, it's becoming more like that, but it still feels like it's a house party and it's just people you kind of know or sort of know.
That is, I love that analogy because that is right on the money. I really, because of the Periscope, you actually, I think, because everyone is not comfortable doing live stream.
Yeah, you know.
And as a business owner, we have to, you know, get out of our comfort zone and do live stream in order to reach the masses. If not, we are stagnating ourselves as business owners. But I find, you know, there's different reasons why I would use Periscope over Facebook. Even, you know, I haven't done a lot of Periscope lately, but I'm geared more towards Facebook because my audience, you know, when you have all those friends on your list and all that, they tend to want to watch the videos. But what I'm finding is, too, I'm seeing a lot of live stream videos in the news feed, but they're really not focusing on talking about anything. So you tend to disengage because everybody, it seems, is doing live stream. Now, even if they don't have anything to say, they're just on there.
It's so true. It's like, who has the time to watch all of these live broadcasts? You know?
Yes, exactly. It's like sending an email with an exclamation point and saying urgent. And when you send emails, every email you send says urgent.
Yes.
After a while, people will dismiss that because it's really not urgent. So
that is so true. And I hate that.
I know. And so it's sometimes it gets mundane. It's like, okay, I'm seeing all these videos in my news stream, but no one is really talking about anything. They're just on there. So you have to kind of just decipher what's going to be best for you and, you know, and follow that particular person based on the content that they're giving to you. If that's, you know, in your industry and feeding your intellect on what you need to do in order to move your business forward.
Yes.
So I believe that Facebook Live is great. Periscope is great. And, you know, these other ones, Snapchat, I'm on there too. Instagram, I'm on there. A couple of Insta Snap, you know, all that. But you have to be up with the trend.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of business owners, sometimes their downfall is that they feel that certain platforms are not for them. Which may be true, but don't just dismiss one over the other. You just never know.
Right, right. And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, I'll tell clients is that everyone wants to jump in right away and be on every single social media platform there is. And then they want to be on there, but then they're not really on there. You know, they've signed up.
Right.
They've got their username. Maybe they put a profile picture. Maybe they put one or two posts, but then they're like, well, where is everybody? How come I'm not getting all these followers? And then they start doing all these other things that maybe aren't so great, like buying followers, you know, and it just, it's hard. So how do you go about telling clients, you know, how to go about that process? Because that's one that is very hit or miss for people.
What I say, for clients is to do the one that's most comfortable for you. For instance, some, you know, I am on Facebook Live more now than anything, or Facebook in general. Now, you know, I am on LinkedIn, but not as much. I'm more comfortable with Facebook. So I would say, first and foremost, identify what platform you're most comfortable with. And then from there, you know, and be consistent. You know, consistency is key. I tell individuals they have to be consistent, you know, while their business, you know, as they're building their business, because people are looking for you to be there at a certain time, at a certain day, or they tend to get, you want to create that habit of them seeing you and providing, of course, good content material to them, because it's all about building a relationship. In order to build a relationship, you have to show up. That's the only way you're going to, you know, build your client base, you know, which eventually will lead to sales. But the consistency is decide on what platform is the best for you. Be consistent and show up on that platform in order to build that list, those people, you know, those followers. Then you build it, as you're doing that, you're building a relationship with them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah, that's and, you know, that's, to be honest, for me, I mean, I'm on a few social sites as well. And for me, Instagram is one of those that it's a love-hate relationship, because I don't spend a whole lot of time on there, because I'm on Facebook, and Facebook allows me to share more. And that's what I do. I share out resources for people and I'm able to engage with them more there. And, you know, I'm pretty picky about formatting. I like to format my paragraphs and stuff and keep it, you know, easy to read, where on Instagram, everything's just one big blob.
Exactly. That's true. And, you know, it's basically short code, you know, or it'll be all, like you said, one big blob. And like, who wants to read all of that?
Exactly.
You know, then tell them to go up to your profile links and click on this. And people like simplicity. They like things that are easy and are user friendly. So I'm all about that.
I am too. And so how did you get started? How long have you been doing your business for? And how did you get started? Because that's what I'm always curious about when I meet new people.
Right. I got started because of my background is in finance. And I have a master's degree in public administration, specializing in finance. I've had a love with, you know, for business all of my life. I think my career in corporate America and dealing with numbers, you know. Yeah. So that has been my passion and what I've worked in for over 20 plus years. And it had came to a point where people were asking me questions, because I am an entrepreneur. Even though I am still in corporate America, I am an entrepreneur as well. And I love the freedom, the flexibility in what it provides. And people would ask me questions of how did you, you know, do, why do you do what you do first and foremost? And how do you do it? And what about this? I want to do this. What do you think, Tina? Do you have anything, information you can share with me in regards to X? Because I've always been a resource provider as well, how to do things better, because I'm constantly plugging in to training and development.
Yes.
Personal development, business development, because I love to learn and I love to share information.
It
came to a point where everyone was asking me questions about business and how to develop their business and what do I think about this strategy and that strategy? And I said to myself, okay, I'm getting all these questions. I need to, you know, kind of do a business, a shift in regards to what I, you know, the services that I'm providing and began to do coaching, you know, focusing on business coaching, particularly working with women entrepreneurs. That is what I really enjoy doing, is working with women entrepreneurs in the business coaching arena. So I've been in business for over 8 years now.
Okay.
And my business has been growing. And then it's just the point of me touching and empowering women through education, through inspiration, through my words. I am a best-selling author as well.
Nice.
And really just helping them understand their skills and talents, and then teaching them how to monetize those things, how to create that passive income, doing what they do, you know, doing what they love to do and making money at the same time. So it is my desire to impart on individuals ways to be more strategic in their thinking as well as intentional in their activities and their business.
Sure. And when you started and at the beginning there, did you, because you know that you wanted to help women, and was that always a thing, meaning, because I know when I first started, and I feel like this happens to a lot of us, is we want to help everyone. We want to be able to help, you know, everyone from the kids to the older adults, and whatever they're doing, we want to help them. But it really comes down to being as specific as possible to really make a greater impact. Because I know for me, when I was trying to touch base with everyone, it's almost like you're touching base with no one at that same time.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're spinning your wheels. You're all over the place.
Yeah.
Because so you don't know. You're at every event because you don't have, you did not define your target market.
Right.
So you're at every event trying to gather people, you know, and meet new people. It was definitely a lessons learned, and also, a lessons learned, and then also understanding that I needed to be specific, not just women entrepreneurs, but a targeted market of entrepreneurs from 0 to 5 years in business.
Yes.
So I focused on that, you know, as my main thing, 0 to 5 years in business, women entrepreneurs. And then in addition to that, because of my, I guess what I love to do, being a servant leader, that is just, I love to help individuals. I founded an organization called Sisters United.
Oh.
And that particular organization is a nonprofit, and we're actually 4.5 years old. And what the organization does is it actually caters to women entrepreneurs, brick and mortar, work from home, MLM, all different types of entrepreneurs to come together to build relationships through networking.
Nice.
And the concept is people do business with who they know, like, and trust.
Yep.
So we focus on relationship building. Then from there, you connect people, i.e. after that, you build business because it's a referral. You know, people do business with who they know and trust, and they understand what their product or service is.
Right.
So that was my way of working with women entrepreneurs in that particular capacity, providing coaching, training, and also allowing them an opportunity to have that voice in a captive audience setting so they can be able to be more confident in the delivery of their message, their power statement, understanding different elements of building a business so they can go out there and you know, show up great within their own particular industry.
No, I love it. And the fact that you were able to narrow it down. Did it take a long time, do you remember, to really narrow it down to the 0 to 5 years, women specifically?
Yes. Yes, it did. It did. When I first made that decision, it was, like you said, it was so broad. I mean, I love working with the women, but it was really broad. So I had, through trial and error, you know, I would say even 6 months, it's probably, you know, 6 months to a year, because I was just like, oh, I'm helping so-and-so, I'm helping over here, but I was spreading myself too thin.
Yep.
So, and then also I wanted to be able to maximize my time and work with the people that most needed my help.
Sure.
And then in turn, you know, for me to have that, you know, a reoccurring client coming in, and as they grow, they get, you know, be able to advance in my, you know, coaching programs and so forth. So it did take 6 months to a year for me to really hone in on specifically the target market that I felt comfortable enough and that I enjoyed engaging with.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good time marking, 6 months to a year. Maybe for some it might be a little bit more, you know, depending on what they're doing, how much they're doing.
Right.
You know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, even for me starting out, I was still working a full-time job before I finally quit that to be full-time entrepreneur. So, you know, it just all depends on what you have going on in your world.
Right. Yes.
For that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so when you come up with trial and errors, you know, are you making a note of it? Like, I know for me, I make notes of everything, and I'm like you, I always like to share and give resources, and I don't look at it as a failure if something doesn't work out. I look at it as an opportunity and be able to move forward to the next thing, because it's always a next step for me. How do you go about that for yourself and for your clients when it comes to those challenges?
I use every challenge as a case study.
Yes.
I look at it as a case study. A case study which can be used in when you're presenting information or a scenario that you've come across, and say, what can we learn from this? So I utilize any failures or disconnects or challenges in my business, or even if individuals tell me about a situation, as a case study. A case study so we can analyze what the problem is or the pain point is, and the rationale of why they chose to, you know, do it one way versus the other way, in hopes that we won't fall into the same type of situation.
Yes.
So I think it's really good to have those case studies. I do a debrief. If there's a situation, a challenge or something, let's debrief. Let's talk about it. I put mini mastermind groups together. Let's talk about this scenario. What do you think we could have done to make it better? So even though it may not be something that I personally went through, but it's something that is challenging for someone else, let's talk about it, get it out in the open and see how we can do it better the next time.
Yeah, no,
I think we learned from that.
Yeah, of course, always. And that's the thing too, you know, talking about trial and error, pricing. And because you're in that world with finances and stuff, how do you go about pricing, whether it's your own pricing or you helping your clients with pricing? Because I think no matter how good we think we are, we always can use improvements. And when it comes to pricing, I think that's a big one, because that, for me at least, it seems like it's always a trial and error process as well, trying to come up with your coaching packages, your other services, your courses, which is a big one right now for people. It's always hard to come up with pricing.
It definitely is. And that's, I mean, if I knew the, like the gold formula just for across the board, I would definitely let everybody know, because it's so many different nuances on why you choose the numbers you choose. Individuals say, well, I'm valued at this and this is my price, but it ties again to your target market. So you have to look at a lot of different elements to comprise of your pricing structure. And I tell individuals all the time, you don't want to devalue yourself, but you want to make sure that depending on the market you're going for, if that's a certain market you're going for, that they can, you know, that you're competitive with other people out there. However, in order for you to stand out, you have to have something unique about yourself, because people are buying you. They're not really buying the service. They're going to buy you first. Then they may look at the product. But they're going to buy you first. And it's like, if you can make yourself stand out from the crowd, you know, that is a better situation to be in. But what I tell my clients is when I really talk about strategy a lot in regards to pricing versus, for example, government contracts versus, you know, private industry, I have them to identify, you know, do your competitive analysis, what's out there. Make sure you're covering all your costs that it takes you to to complete your deliverables. How much profit did you want to earn? Because when you're even dealing in the government contracting arena, you have to make sure you know your numbers and your profit margins on those things, and then track it in execution to make sure you don't, you know, you don't go over what you had proposed in your car, which is very, very important. And you have, you can look at that again, both in the government and the private industry. So it, that is just, you know, it crosses over. But I really want people to really think about and think strategically. And when I have these conversations with my clients, or if I'm doing corporate training with individuals, they get so many aha moments, because I bring up things where they'll say, well, I really never thought about it that way, or I didn't think I should have put that in my cost structure.
Yes.
You know, what is it costing me to complete deliverables? A lot of people lose out on money, and also decrease their profit level when it's time to execute, when they've given a price out to a client.
Yeah, it's all about that research. That's what I tell people is you really have to do your research, no matter if you're just starting out or you've been in business for years. You constantly have to do your research and find out, you know, it could be the littlest thing as creating, you know, an email marketing sequence. You know, you don't just hire somebody just because they say that they're an email expert. You need to look at them. You need to see what they do. How do they do it? And I think that ties back into that live video, right? You know, when you see people, you get to actually see them, and you can see past whatever marketing wording they're using to, you know, kind of sell the dream. Because that's what we all run into, is all of these things sound great because, you know, a lot of the storytelling can be really well done. And when you actually get involved in it, it's really, you wasted your money and your time and your other resources.
Exactly. And a lot of people, they buy on emotion.
Yep.
And you know, and not really sit back and think about it first. A lot of people get in trouble with that. They buy every program in the book, any offering someone has, and either they're not utilizing it properly, or not at all, they're sitting on the shelf, or they bought off of emotion and not really understanding, did I really need this at this time in my business?
And that's
so a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's the thing that I am constantly reminding people, and, you know, I've been helping clients save money because of the fact that I encourage them to do their research. I do the research for them, and it doesn't really take a whole lot of time, you know, for certain things, to just do a quick Google search. I mean, with the internet in the palm of our hands, where it's so easy to do a quick Google search, 5 minutes later, you can sometimes tell whether or not you should go through with a deal or not with somebody.
Exactly. That's true. That is true.
So what kinds of challenges are you facing this year? Now, you know, we're almost in halfway through 2017. What kind of challenges are you facing within your business?
I think my challenges would be, and I think this is one of the challenges that all of them, because I'm really expanding my consulting services side of the house. And that is dealing with small and medium-sized companies in the government contract arena that can really, again, it's a certain level of individuals that I'm looking for, but really understanding that what I bring to the table, the value and the content that I bring to the table, and really just being in their particular presence. So a challenge for me is I'm always seeking out opportunities to network with the individuals, the market that I'm trying to reach. So it's more business to business, individuals that can't afford my services, my price points, and then also appreciate the value that I bring to the table.
Yes.
It may not necessarily be like mass, you know, how sometimes you have like a low price point because you're trying to get your money's going to come through the mass volume.
Yep.
Mine is more specialized. In certain elements, it's more specialized. So I'm looking for a certain clientele that can afford that. So that would differentiate between the aspiring entrepreneur, the 0 to 5. So when I say on the consulting side of my business, which is dealing with strategic pricing in the government contracting arena, that is dealing with more companies that have a larger budget,
right,
that can appreciate as well as pay for the return on, you know, have a really good return on investment of the services that I provide.
Yeah, and you know, something that keeps coming up is you're exclusive. You have a target, and it's very specific. And it sounds like that for you, and I say this for me and anybody else who has that specific target, is that makes it more appealing, that makes it more attractive. And while you may not be getting every single person that stops by on the street, you know, you're still going to get the right people at the right time for it. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. It just, and that's the thing that it really clicked not too long ago for me through a lot of research, is that it's kind of like going to your favorite coffee shop that no one really knows about because it's kind of tucked away, and they have the best coffee and the best, you know, pastries and stuff, and yet it's only packed with the right people because they know about it and they're willing to go look for it. But
right,
if not,
exactly,
Starbucks down the street that's always got a line, you know, it's
right. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And so
that is great.
You know, I'm always trying to make things, quote, stupid easy. That's part of my brand, right?
Yeah, I love that tagline. I saw that. I love that.
Yeah. You know, I just, and you know, what's funny is that came about too through all of these things that I do, you know, because especially when I first started out, I'm good at so many things, and I was trying to list them all out, and I'm trying to do all these things, which, you know, I don't want to give up and say no to certain things, but at the same time, I can't possibly do all of those things and market all of those to attract the right people for all those things. So I had to break it down, and that was what stuck with people, and that's what stuck with me, you know, is that literally that started with the back of my business card, the guy who makes business and technology stupid easy. Well, technically, when I first started, it was just technology stupid easy, but then I've always been attracted to business, so I incorporated business in that tagline because it's what I do, it's what I'm passionate about, and it's what I want to help people run better businesses, understand the different sides of business. You know, I may not be about the finances or certain other aspects, but I know who to connect you with, and I know how to get the right tools and resources in your pocket, you know, to help you get to the next level.
Right. Exactly. And that's valuable in itself.
Right.
When you, and I have several people at times will contact me and say, hey, do you know XYZ? Or if they've met someone through me or through my organization, and just as an example, I had one person reach out to me. They met this lady in my organization maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And she reached out to me and asked if I had her contact information. She remembered the product that the lady had, and she wanted to introduce it to her boss at her company for an event. So being able to quickly get that resource to her so she can make that connection again with that person who had that product, you just never know how that works out, you know, in just connecting people and resources. So to be known as that person, that go-to person, that validates that how you influence others, and also that you can provide that information to help them without asking for anything in return.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, and I think that's important to note that. And like you said earlier, it's really about being able to connect and to know who to go to and who you feel comfortable with. And then, like you were saying earlier, people kept asking you questions. So it all started with a question, right? And those people kept adding up. So you realize, hey, I don't mind doing this for free, but bills need to be paid. So I do need to make some money off of this. How can I make this work?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
what I think is a big one. And I tell people too is, you know, really it's all about asking and listening. Those are really the two things that you need to pay attention to. Because everything comes together once you've asked a question and you're willing to listen, everything starts to come together.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly, totally agree.
Tell me what your me time place is. So what's like, where's a place that you go, whether, you know, that's the car, the kitchen, you know, I have some people that it's the bathroom or they go to Starbucks or whatever. Where's a place that you like to go for just you, just me time?
Wow. Just me time? That would be a spa.
Yeah. I was going to say, for those who don't know what a me time is, that's just the little bit of time you get to yourself.
Yes, to unwind and relax.
Yes.
Would be the spa.
Nice.
But also, one thing I like to do on me as far as me time is go is I'm very, you know, I'm in my job, in my business, I'm very analytical.
Yeah.
Talk about strategy, prices, numbers, and all of that. Very analytical. So I enjoy being able to tap into my creative side. So one of the newest things I have been doing to tap into my creative side is to create. I've been making handcrafted soap, lotions, things that pamper, again, that pampering, you know, vibe. If you will, nourishing vibe, and I love creating those, and that is something that I've taken on, I guess, the last 6 or 7 months now.
Okay.
And the beauty about that is that it's TLC Pamper products. The beauty about that is started as, you know, giving gifts, giving it out, and people loved it so much, then they wanted it consistently. Okay, they're willing to pay for it. So really, I just took something that I like to do to de-stress and monetize it.
Yep.
To create another stream, totally different from anything that I do, you know, but it's just that learning and that creativeness that I'm able to tap into to just kind of let me be able to enjoy, you know, to have that little me time.
Sure.
You know, in my own kitchen.
Oh yeah. And how do you like manage your time wise, like scheduling and stuff? Are you using, you know, just a paper planner? Are you using digital? Because that's a lot of things that you're juggling, mm-hmm. like most of us do.
Yeah.
How do you break it down?
Right. Yes. I like the old traditional planner.
Yeah.
So I have things on the planner. I look at my schedule. I look at, okay, what's going on for this week, this month, today, what events and so forth, or, you know, what things are action items I need to complete on a daily basis. I look at my goals and what I'm trying to do from weekly on to monthly on to quarterly. And I say, okay, I need to engage in more people or go network and meet new people and things of that nature. I just put it on the calendar. So I do have an electronic calendar, but also I like the paper calendar as well. So with the smartphone, it makes it very easy to get those reminders and things of that nature. But a lot, because I'm still in corporate America, I mean, one of the things I am known or been called, one of my, I guess, nicknames is LT Millionaire. And that stands for Lunchtime Millionaire.
Oh, I love it.
And all it means is that when I'm grinding at work, you know, but I have my lunch break in order to build my own empire. So I would, you know, go meet clients at lunch or then immediately after work before I get home, making calls on the way home, you know, really maximizing the time that I have to build my business.
Totally.
So that is one of the things that, Lunchtime Millionaire, LT Millionaire. And that's my Twitter handle too.
I love that. That's exactly how I was when I was at my my full-time job all the time. Because I'm always looking at something and I'm like, how do I make that better? And I just pop it in on the list, you know, before I wanted to like jump in, go get all my resources and like start making it. And now I'm like, no, I need to focus and stay focused, but I'm not going to get rid of that idea. I'll put in the idea bank for later. And I'd be sitting there on my lunch hour and my 15-minute breaks, and I'd be making some calls. I'd be making emails.
See?
I'm reading my
book. There
you
go. That's what we have to do.
That's true.
What we have to do.
It's like, it's crazy. And people are like, even now I still do a lot of that. And people are like, so Ed, when do you sleep? Why don't you want to go out? I don't have time to go out. I'm trying to build a business here. I'm trying to help others here.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not the only one.
No. Yeah, it's all around. Now, what a lot of people I talk to who are entrepreneurs, what always keeps coming up is the loneliness factor. So how do you deal with, do you feel loneliness, I should say, first? And then how do you deal with that? Because I know that that happens to a lot of us because we are stuck at home in front of our computers.
Exactly. And then that's another thing too, because I work from home. So I'm home. Everything is from home. So what I do is I purposely involve myself in organizations. I am a member of Toastmasters. So we have weekly meetings, or a member of my business organization at my church, our ministry. So I actually, and then do different networking events. So I schedule my time out in order to engage with individuals, because if you don't, you can find yourself secluded and you're so comfortable at home that you'll never leave. Yep. So you have to schedule times where you want to be out in front of the crowd, not only for your business, but also just to make sure you can stay engaged and people see you, not just, you know, engage with you over the phone or over the computer.
That's such a great point. Yeah, because that, you know, even if you just go down to the local coffee shop or whatever, and you just sit there, even if you're by yourself, you're still around people. I mean, that's why I go to the gym every day, because I want to see people, and you just never know who you're going to run into or talk to, you know, it's crazy.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So we have to, you know, make that extra effort, get out the pajamas and the fuzzy socks.
Yeah. Got to shower.
And go out to, yes, go out like this morning, 8 o'clock networking. I'm at a networking event, 8 o'clock this morning, you know, so you do what you have to do.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing about, you know, being an entrepreneur and setting your own hours is you can do that. And by setting up those events, it also keeps you on schedule, because it's so easy to hit the snooze button or to just go right back to bed after you send that quick morning email.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard part.
It takes a discipline. A lot of people don't understand, even, you know, working from home as an entrepreneur or anything, the point of when you don't have someone or, you know, like someone right on top of you making you do things or be accountable, you have to be accountable to yourself. So you have to have a certain element of discipline in your business, and you need to have a schedule in order for you to make sure that you're meeting your goals. So like you said, we can become lax as entrepreneurs if there's no mandate for us to be at a certain place or a certain time, but we have to have enough discipline within ourselves to say, if I want to reach this, you know, this certain goal that I've established for myself, then I need to do X, Y, Z, and I have to make sure these things are done. So I might sacrifice, you know, a personal event because I need to be, you know, on point in making sure I reach my particular goals in my business. So that definitely happens at, you know, a lot as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, those sacrifices even have to be social media. I did that recently where I stopped doing social media in before 10 a.m. And, you know, there was only a couple days where I was at an event. So I had to, you know, slip on that a little bit. But otherwise, I mean, from the start, I saw immediate growth in my business, and I saw that needle just go all the way to the other side. It was fantastic. And so I've tried to hold myself accountable to that Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So that way you can get your tasks done and move forward.
Yes, because we can definitely get lost in that social media of one seeing one feed and the video reading. Next thing you know, it's 2 hours have passed.
Yes.
And you're just like, what did I like, you know, sometimes I just like exit out of my system, close it down, shut it down, because, you know, you can get lost in the stories, lost in the updates and things of that nature. And that is not a revenue producing activity.
Right.
You're just sitting there reading.
Yes. And that's the point, is that you always have to remind yourself, is this going to make me money? And not in a greedy way, but in the right way. Like, am I providing value? Am I getting people to understand who I am, what I do? And am I using my time effectively here?
Right. If the answer is no, then turn it off.
That is true. So if you had to give one piece of advice to someone just starting out, what would it be?
I would say for them, if they're just starting out, is to invest in personal development, invest in training. Really find a mentor that's doing what you enjoy doing and latch on to them. It may be several mentors if you don't have one, but really look and see have someone that you can look up to, a coach, a mentor that will help and assist you in navigating through the process. So you won't lose a lot of time, a lot of money, spinning your wheels and not doing the things that are productive for you. So I do tell individuals all the time when they're hesitant about a coach or, should they invest in themselves? The answer is yes. In order for them to move forward, they're going to have to invest in themselves. So it will have to be with someone outside of them that know more than they do.
Yes.
And if they, have that right mindset and they are willing to work for it and be coachable, then they'll be on the right path to success.
Oh, I love it. I couldn't have said it any better. That was hands down amazing. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Tina. This has been fantastic meeting you and hanging out.
I really enjoyed our conversation. That's what it's about. It's about conversation. Yes. I really enjoyed our conversation this afternoon. And I look forward to any way I can help. Just let me know. I'm just a phone call away, so.
Thanks for tuning in to the Yes to Entrepreneurship podcast. To find out more about each episode, including links to the guests that I have bring on to the show, be sure to check out the show notes. Also, don't forget to subscribe in iTunes, and go ahead and leave us a review.